In the month of May, we have been talking about our responsibilities as God's children. We've talked about the fact that God is deeply interested in our level of commitment, both as individuals and as a congregation of His people. And as I've already said this morning, our gospel meeting with Brother Marlon Conley begins just 2 weeks from today. And we've been counting down the days while at the same time examining our level of preparation in the interest of being better able than we ever have before at giving this our very best. We talked about our outreach and the fact that our gospel meeting provides a golden opportunity to reach those around us who are in need of salvation. We've talked about how important it is for us to keep our commitments and the fact that our commitments to God and the church are among the most important commitments we will ever have. Last Sunday, we talked about serving the Lord with gladness, and how Christian service should never be just drudgery, but rather something that's joyous. In fact, some of the most joyous work that we could ever do. This morning, in that same consideration, along those same lines, we're all set to answer one of the most important questions that I believe we will ever ponder. And that's the question, what do I owe the church? What do I owe the church? Now, naturally, a probing question like that is going to get a variety of reactions, and there are always going to be some folks who are going to say that a question like that is just not appropriate. I think we need to watch out for those people. I think we need to be careful lest they draw us into their cynical, overprotective mindset. I think those folks resist challenging thoughts and they want to be just left alone in what could sometimes be defined as a lukewarm, self-satisfied pretension of Christianity that manifests itself most often in a cold, empty ritual and steadfast do-nothingism. I had to invent a couple of words to put that on the screen, but I thought it was so important that I'd let you read it. That's the way some folks think, and I'm sorry to say there are some in the Lord's church who claim to be His servants, who are so stuck in their own sense of leave me alone, I don't want to do anything, that it's causing great harm to the body of Christ. What makes us be like that sometimes? You just want to be left alone, unwilling to be challenged, uninterested in growth, and just generally lazy so far as the church is concerned. Wearing His name but resisting His life. Satisfied just to exist. Oh no, it's a good question. And we need to answer that question. What do I owe the church? Now, if those words that we sang a few minutes ago mean anything at all to us, we should be right now sorting through our priorities for the purpose of making sure that the Lord's blood-bought church is where it needs to be in our lives. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Do we owe the church anything? As Christians, how do we pay our debts? What is our, you know, these days, a credit score, I guess I kind of live in the dark. But I had never until recently known anything about how important a credit score was to some people. A credit score, you know, some people might ask you before they even ask you where you live, they say, what's your credit score? You know, used to, hey, how you doing? My name's so-and-so. Oh, nice to meet you. Where do you live? Nice to meet you. What's your credit score? You know, that seems to be the most important thing these days. What's our credit score with God? Think about that. Think about how important that concept is. And so as we think about these things, maybe this is the question we should start with. Why do we owe the church? Why do we owe the church? Now, let me say that I believe it is very, very important that we understand that we do not owe the church a debt that is somehow required to pay back God's grace, because we couldn't do that. There is no way we could ever repay the debt that we owe God for His grace. In fact, the very reason that Jesus died on the cross is that we don't possess the ability nor the means to pay the price of sin. Jesus had to do it. We can't do it. We don't have the ability to pay the price unless we pay the price of eternal condemnation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, Paul said, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you, by His poverty, might become rich." There's a very interesting prophetic reference to salvation in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1. And there it refers to salvation like this. It says it's without money and without cost. In other words, it's already been paid for. It's not something that we have to spend the rest of our lives scraping up every penny and nickel in order to pay this thing every month. We've got to make another payment. That's not what we're talking about here. In Romans 6:23, Paul says, "But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So it's not a debt of repayment, but I think we really could describe it as a debt of honor, for lack of a better term. Consider the benefits of membership in the Lord's body: forgiveness, peace, prayer, fellowship, hope. And on we could go, constructing a great long list. In fact, we'd never get to the end of that list in trying to put down all of the benefits of being a part of the body of Christ. In fact, James says in chapter 1, verse 17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there can be no variation nor shadow that is cast by turning." In addition to the generosity of our Heavenly Father that we are given access to through the blood of Jesus and in the church, we have earthly associations in the church that bless us immeasurably. Any way you look at it, church membership is an asset, not a liability. We're privileged in the church to associate and to be a part of some of the very best people on this earth. We've got a support group around us that is beyond description. In times of sickness and sorrow, distress or even joy. There's a multitude on our side waiting to help, to serve, and to rejoice. What a debt of gratitude we owe the church. Why? There's not a single person who could ever truthfully say, "Well, I've never gotten any benefit out of that church." I said truthfully, because we know there are a lot of folks who've made ridiculous statements like that, but it's just not true. Anybody who says that and believes it hasn't tried to see the good that is ours in the body of Christ. And so why do we owe the church? We dare not look any further than all of the benefits that we receive as members of the Lord's body. Well, let's move on then, and let's tackle that question. What is our indebtedness to the church? Are we talking about some kind of obscure, intangible something or other that we can't really identify, can't really describe, define? Let me suggest these three things. Number one, we owe the church the debt of commendation. Commendation. We owe it to the church and to the Lord to be sold on this congregation of the Lord's people. I sometimes hear people criticize the local congregation, and I hear some folks go on about it so long to the extent that I'm just left to wonder, why in the world don't they just leave and go somewhere else? There are some people who seem to get hung up in this mode of criticizing the local church and talking about what all's wrong with the eldership, what all's wrong with the preachers, what all's wrong with the song leaders, and what all's wrong with the Bible classes. You know, if we don't feel like we can commend the local congregation, if we don't feel like we can stand up for it and speak up for it, if we don't feel like that we can really promote it, we're doing wrong by hanging around. We need to find somewhere we can promote. We owe the church the debt of commendation. We each wield a powerful influence with outsiders in the way that we support and speak up for the congregation here. And rest assured, those outside the church pay close attention to how important it looks like the church is to me or to you. We need to be talking up the church at every opportunity and not talking it down. And when the church has special events like our gospel meeting, we need to be good advertisement. And I'm afraid sometimes one of the reasons why gospel meetings have fallen out of favor with a lot of folks in the Lord's church today and are so poorly supported sometimes, even by the local congregation, is that nobody really figures it's worth the effort anyway, because you fill in the blanks. Recommend the church. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, Paul said, "For not only has the word of God sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything." Paul said, I can't even add to it. You've got such a good reputation. Everybody knows how strong you are and how much you love the Lord and His work. The church in Thessalonica had a good reputation, and reputations, good and bad, travel far and wide. We owe the church the debt of commendation. We owe the church the debt of consecration. Consecration. Our individual, personal, even our private lives will either be a credit or a harm to the church. And we owe it to the church to promote the church by living consecrated lives. Now, consecrated means to devote to a purpose with deep, solemn dedication. To be devoted to a purpose with deeply solemn dedication. Now, it may very well be that you're not really all that comfortable with that definition. Or maybe that definition makes you a little bit uncomfortable when I say that we owe a debt of consecration. We owe it to the church, to the local congregation, to be devoted to it with deeply solemn dedication. Oh, preacher, that sounds like the way we are about our ball team. Thus we sing, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Our devotion to the church and to this local congregation in particular needs to be a lot of things, but let me just suggest four things. Our consecration needs to be full time. If your commitment to the Lord's body at Redland Road is part time, well, just think what it would be like around here if everybody were just like you. We need to be full time. Number two, we need to be consistent. If anything, we as Christians need to be predictable. We need to be dependable. We don't need to be the kind of people that leave our elders wondering what we're going to do next. If and when. We need to be consistent in our dedication to this congregation. And when someone keeps a list of our attendance, because what better way could there be to determine who's not here and how often they're not here and who needs some attention? But when they keep a list of our attendance and the record shows a check mark by our name every single service, that's consistent. But when we see a list and there are empty places scattered all through the list, that's a pretty good sign that at least in our attendance, we're not being very consistent. We can't progress without being consistent, dependable, predictable. Number three, our devotion has to be selfless. Because you see, a devotion that is reserved, holding our options open in case something better comes along, that's not devotion at all. That's not consecration. That's selfishness. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, Paul said, so if there is any encouragement in Christ, if any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. That's the kind of attitude of selflessness that needs to be typical of God's people. Why would we want to be anything else? And number four, we need to be loyal in our consecration, our dedication. We need to be loyal. The local church is a family. And there's a certain sense of family loyalty that needs to be shown in each of our lives as members of this church. Am I out of line here? Is that a ridiculous idea? Do you want to continue to be considered one of those long-lost brothers or sisters, or those that you just never know? We owe the church the debt of consecration. And then we owe the church the debt of cooperation. Though it is a divine institution, conceived in the mind of God in eternity past, and built by Jesus Christ Himself, as He promised in Matthew 16:18, the church will not survive here on earth unless we as members give our cooperation to its purpose and work. It's just as simple as that. The church needs our cooperation. We owe the church our cooperation. And so, as we close, we're left to ponder the question, are we willing to pay our debt to the church? You know, these days, it's not all that unusual to find folks who don't pay their debts. Sometimes it's because they've bitten off more than they can chew. Sometimes it's perhaps because they've lost a job and have no income. But then sometimes it's because they just don't care. They have no sense of obligation or honor, and when it comes right down to it, they'd really prefer that someone else, maybe you or me, pay their debts for them. It's sad to say, but the truth is, there are some folks who are that way spiritually. When it comes to paying their indebtedness to the church, well, they're willing to let it just go unpaid, or to let someone else pay it for them. Often, our worship attendance is a reflection of our sense of gratitude and our understanding of our obligation to the church. And it's also seen in the level of support that we give to special things like our gospel meeting. You know, I don't want to sound like I'm piling on, but I need to say this. There have been some times in the past when we actually had more visitors to the services of our gospel meeting than we had Redland Road folks. Now, that's a real uncomfortable situation. It ought to be uncomfortable for every last one of us, because that tells a very sad story. But that was then. This is now. And I'll say this. Our attendance last Sunday night was the best we've seen in a long time. And I know it was partially due to the efforts that many in this congregation are making to do better, and also to reach out to those who need to do better. And that's encouraging to me to see that kind of result. Let's keep on showing our gratitude to the Lord for all His benefits to us. And let's be prompt in paying our debts, both physical and, of course, spiritual, because how we pay our debts says a lot about us. Spiritually, how we pay our indebtedness to the church says a lot about our appreciation for the church. It says a tremendous amount about our honesty. Because when we continue to receive the benefits and the blessings that come as being a part of the church, and we don't seem to be interested in repaying some gratitude for that, that makes us dishonest. And of course, it says a lot about our love. When it comes right down to it, we pay in proportion to our love. John said in 1 John 3, verse 18, "Let us love not in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." What do I owe the church? I owe the church a debt of honor, a debt of gratitude, a debt of appreciation. Because I want the church to survive, to grow, to progress, to go forward. I want the church to abound. And I want to be a part of that. And I understand that if I'm not a part of it, then I'm a hindrance to it. If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, why would you wait any longer? Believing in Jesus as God's Son, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Him, and being baptized into Christ is what the Scriptures say you need to do. Only then can you become one of His children, a part of His body, the church. If you've already done that but have become unfaithful and there is unresolved sin in your life, don't let another day go by without resolving that. If it's public, acknowledge it publicly and let it be known that you're going to walk in that way no longer, that you want to be restored. God is waiting, and whatever happens now is up to us. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation, we invite you to respond as we stand and sing.